And I got thinking about fear and God. And so my mind went to a couple verses, and I want to share them with you. It's a terrible thing to go through life in fear. There's a lot of things people are afraid of. Now, there's two different types of fear. The Bible says, Solomon mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, I believe it's verse 13, that we are to fear God and keep his commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, he wrote as well in Proverbs, and the beginning of knowledge and all those things. There is a righteous fear. There is a fear that is healthy for us. That fear is not being afraid of God. And any child of God does not need to be afraid of God. Now, I understand if you're lost, being fearful of dying in your sins. I was that way myself. Whenever God began to wake my conscience and wake my spirit, soul to the fact that I was lost, and I would go to hell if I died, I was scared. I was afraid that I was going to die before I got saved. But that was not the only thing that drew me to God. God does not want us driven to him by fear. He wants us driven to him by love. And so tonight I want to talk about fear. I want to look a little bit at it. There's different things that causes us fear. Some people's afraid of darkness. Some people's afraid of death. Some people's afraid of disease. Some people's afraid of failure. There's all kinds of reasons why people are afraid. Some people's afraid of commitment. There's all kinds of things that people are afraid of. But the Bible tells us that we're not to be afraid and fear those that can kill the body, but to fear him rather that can destroy both body and soul in hell. It's not the devil that destroys your soul in hell, it's God. God is the one. No one goes to hell unless God casts them there. And the reason why they're cast there is because of the rejection of God's gift. And without God's gift, they face the wrath of God. But those of us who are saved, there is now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. We are not to live our lives in fear. What does fear and love have in common? Nothing. They're directly opposed to each other. And tonight I want you to see that, and I want to talk about a couple things that I hope might be a help to you. But look, if you would, in your Bibles in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to come back and outline this a little bit later on, but begin reading with me, if you would, in verse 1. Beloved, so now you know who he's talking to, right? Those of us who are saved. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his love to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. Now note that, if you would, in verse 13. We're going to touch on that before we get into some other things. That he dwells in us, and we dwell in him. Verse 14. And we have seen who testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You may say, well, preacher, I thought you's talking about fear. We've been talking about love through this whole chapter. Look in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, the word perfect there means mature. You have not matured in love. Remember Peter? Now, Peter loved the Lord. Peter, he stood up and he was willing to fight when they come to get Jesus in the garden. Remember that? He pulled his sword and cut Malchus's ear off. And he got rebuked by Jesus, and Jesus picked the ear up and put it back on. But remember then that when they took Jesus, that Peter followed afar off. Then remember how he denied Jesus, how he even cursed denying Jesus, that he even knew him. Then Jesus walked out and looked at him. He went out and wept bitterly. But then he said, I go fishing. Then Jesus met him on the bank in chapter 21 of John. And Peter then recognized that Jesus was on the bank. He come in and Jesus asked him, where he denied Jesus three times, Jesus already told him before he got there that he was going to do that before the cock crowed. But then he also asked Jesus if he loved him three times. And Peter was kind of getting irritated with this, and he said, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Jesus knew that Peter loved him, but Jesus knew that he was having doubts about himself. Now listen to me. Peter was having some fears within himself. When you have fears within yourself, it pulls you back from serving God in love, because what happens is those fears makes you hesitant. Peter feared himself. He feared his ministry, and he even feared about his apostleship. He didn't know exactly where he's going to go. He went back to fishing. But Jesus there, he said, if you love me, feed my sheep and then feed my lamb. And so Peter then, he was reunited and he matured in his love. And he was able to go boldly and be able to preach the word of God and see many people saved. The Bible tells us in verse number 18 that there is no fear in love. You cannot have fear and love at the same time. We'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. And the Bible says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, verse 19, because he first loved us. And if any man say, I love God, hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Keep your finger there a moment and go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just going to read one verse there. The Bible says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. Did I not tell you what verse? Verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, what he wants us to do is he wants us to see things for how they are, not how we perceive them to be. You follow me? So let's look back, and you would, in your Bibles, and note, first of all, as he said, that he is in us and we are in him. And I want to share with you just these thoughts. And by the way, I've mentioned this before in the past. Some people have a hard time understanding our positional salvation and our practical salvation. Positional is right now we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. He is in us, we are in him, positionally. Practically, he is in heaven, we are here. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and he is the presence of Jesus in our lives. But let's look just a few moments, and let me share with you some things that we have in common with Jesus. Number one, we have the same Heavenly Father. In John 20, 17, where he appeared before Mary, and she started to touch him, he told her not to touch him. He said he sends to his father, and her father. In other words, I told you this morning that when Jesus said it's finished, he allowed us to become children of God, and he is our Heavenly Father. Now we can cry, Abba, Father, in whatever time of need we have. Anytime we have any type of fears that creeps into our life, we can go to God and ask God for help. Not only that, but also we have the same eternal life that Jesus has. We were not from the beginning like Jesus and always has been. But when we were made like him and we were made in his image and likeness, we were made an everlasting soul. Our spirit, because of Adam's sin, was dead. When we become born again, our spirit become alive. Therefore, Jesus said that we were alive and we would never die. He was not talking about physically. He was talking about positionally. We would never see the second death. We have life eternal through him. We will die this temporary death, but we will never die eternal death because we have eternal life. And positionally, we have the same eternal life that he would have because he has given us that eternal life as God's gift to us through Jesus Christ. And therefore, as our Father, he cares for us. And in eternal life, we are secure in God. Jesus never began anything that he didn't finish. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you down. When he began a work in you, he's going to complete that work. Number three, we have the same nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that we have been given a divine nature. And that divine nature is the same nature that God has. The trouble with us is we have a sinful nature that we still have after we get saved, and our divine nature battles with our sinful nature. And we have a warfare within ourselves. But we have that nature given to us by God. Not only that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says that we sit in heavenly places with him. We have the same position as Christ. Also in John 14, 27, he says, my peace I give you. And he has given us his peace that we can have the same peace that Jesus had. When Jesus walked on this earth, he didn't fear. He didn't fear when men come at him. He didn't fear when a mob come at him. He didn't fear when storms came. He didn't fear when even facing the cross. He had no fear because he had perfect love. But we find that he has that peace, and he has promised us that we could have that peace, and he has given us the same peace he's got, a peace that passes all understanding. Now, these things I'm talking about, as we read, the world does not understand. They don't understand these things, and they don't understand why we want to have church. They don't understand why we want to come out to church. They think, well, we're fools because we come out to church and expose ourselves. Then fear comes into your lives. I mean, if I know someone has a virus, I wouldn't go expose myself. I wouldn't do like some of the foolish people that went in some of these Walmarts and stuff, started licking things and all that, just daring to get it, and going having parties, virus parties, and some of them got it and even died of it. That's tempting God, and that's being a fool. The Bible tells us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We ought to use wisdom. But we also have the same love. We'll get it in just a moment. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7, we're reminded, beloved, let us love one another. Everyone that loveth is born of God. You can't be born of God and not have the love of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:5 that he sheds his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit when we are born again. You want to know the moment that you had perfect love? The moment you got saved, you got to feel what perfect love was. The moment you got saved, if you remember, you look out and you loved everybody. I mean, you didn't even kick the dog when you went home. I mean, you loved everybody. And you couldn't help, and be honest with you, you loved them so much, the first thing that you want to do is tell everybody you got saved and try to tell them about Jesus. But as we mature in love, we can perfect our love. And sad part about it is that sometimes we have to. We have the same mission as Christ. As he was to do the will of the Father and see people get saved, that's our mission as well. And last but not least, in John chapter 17, verse 22, he tells us that we'll have the same glory. Now, in dealing with our fears, let me say this. What are we afraid of? What makes us afraid? There are times when it's sinful to be afraid. Number one, when there's nothing really to fear. I have people all the time tell me, preacher, I'm worried to death that this is going to happen. So why are you worried? Wait and see if it happens. What if it don't happen? You've lost sleep, you fear, you've been afraid. And so therefore, I think it's sinful for us to be all anxious and afraid of what will happen before it ever happens. And all it does is it makes us anxious and it makes us fearful. And you know how miserable you are when you're afraid? You ever been afraid? Not that, but also when we fail to trust God. David said in Psalms 56, I believe, he said, when I am afraid, at what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. When we quit trusting God and we allow things to just create fear in our life, there's all kinds of things that can cause us fear. I don't want to walk around my whole life being afraid.
I hate the feeling
of being afraid. Not only that, but also when fear is prompted by guilt. Sometimes we're guilty and we're afraid. Remember Adam and Eve? When they had sinned, you remember what they did when God come walking through the garden? They hid themselves. He said, why are you hiding yourself? We're afraid. Why were they afraid? They were guilty. And guilt, they feared God because of their guilt. Now, as I said, what we need to do is we need to learn to see things as they really are and not have to fear God. The second thing we need to do is understand, as his disciples did when they were all afraid and Jesus was in the midst of the ship, down underneath, asleep, and they were all scared to death because of the storm, he walked up, wanted to know why they were afraid. He was in the midst. Folks, we don't have to be afraid with Jesus in the midst of us. He is in us, and we are in him. He is with us everywhere. You don't have to be afraid where you go and what you do. God is with you. Not only that, but we have to remember the remedy for fear is to remember that God loves you. As your Heavenly Father, how many of you mothers and fathers If you're natural mothers and fathers and have a natural love for your children, how many of you love your children? I didn't understand, to give you an example of fear, or fear and love. When I was young and my parents spanked me, really, they whipped me. We didn't have such thing as a spanking in our house. You just got a good old-fashioned whipping when you got one. But the point of the matter is, when I was young, they'd always say something, well, we're doing this because we love you. You couldn't convince me of that when I was getting a whipping. Or it's going to hurt us worse than it's going to hurt you. But as I matured, I realized that they were doing it because they loved me so much. And I realized that because of their love, they wanted me to not turn out and do some things in my life that would be harmful for my life. And now I appreciate the fact that they did that. And so we need to remember that God, our Heavenly Father, loves us. He sees when a sparrow falls to the ground, and you're much more important to Him than a sparrow. There's nothing that happens in your life that God is not aware of. Not only that, He lives in you, as we said. And last but not least, when we have fears, learn to cast them upon the Lord. Now, let's look just a few moments, and let me look back, if you would, in chapter 4, and let me just touch on a couple things. Verse number 1 tells us that we are to try the spirits. The devil, he wants nothing more than to give you a spirit of fear. He knows that fear prevents you from loving God like you need to love God, as long as you're afraid. Now, there's all kinds of spirits, and here he's talking about spirits and false prophets and so forth going out into the world and preaching against the love of God, the spirit of Antichrist and so forth, and teaching that Jesus is not God. But we need to try the spirits. When you have the spirit of fear, number one, you need to realize what we read over in Timothy. God has not given you the spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power and of love, amen, and of sound mind. In other words, to think reasonable about what's going on and have a sound mind about it and see it for what it is, and therefore know that you have within you the power to overcome that thing. Someone said, what does it mean in chapter 6 of Romans? What's it talking about there? What it's talking about is when you become saved, there is no sin or sinful habit in your life that God does not give you the power to overcome. Did you know that? Nothing. There's nothing. Not only that, someone was talking to me one time about smoking. And he said, I just can't quit. I said, there's nothing in our life that God does not give us the power to overcome if we feel convicted about doing that thing. And so therefore, we need to try the spirits. When we have a spirit of fear, what's making us afraid? Exactly what are we afraid of? That's what I want to ask. Second of all, notice verse 2 and 3, we need to distinguish the spirits. Whether false or whether true. The things that we're feeling, somebody said, well, I feel this. You can't go with your feelings, but you've got to understand there's different spirits. There's seducing spirits. There's spirits that wants to lead you in the wrong way. And it wants to get you down and makes you think that you cannot overcome certain things in your life. You cannot face those things. And therefore, it makes you afraid. Now, think about this a moment. Someone asked me about church, and I told him, I said, I can't with a good conscience not go to church. If I'm going to go in Walmart and pick up supplies, and I'm going to go in Kroger and get groceries, why in the world wouldn't I come to church? I mean, think about that. If we have the love of God, then we love the same things God loves. You know what God loves? He loves His house. He loves His people. And many other things. But look on. Verse 4 through 6 of chapter 4. Notice he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because why? Say that again. So therefore, we can do all things. We can overcome. You know why? Because greater is he that is in you than that thing that wants to keep you in fear all the time. My wife, she was, we was talking the other day, and she was telling somebody about how that years ago when we first got married and so forth, I was doing a lot of things I shouldn't do, and I was drinking and things like that at that time, and I would leave and go to the store, and I had such a habit at that time until I got my life straightened out that sometimes I would leave and she would not see me again for 3 or 4 days. And I got to the point where I was just blacking out, and I didn't know anything going on. And I couldn't tell her where I'd been, what I'd been doing. But what happened was, even after I straightened up, I would start to the grocery, and she'd get all nervous. I'd say, "What are you nervous about?" She said, "It makes me afraid every time you leave out the door." She said, "I wonder if something will happen that you'll go back." And I was thinking, that I tell her sometimes, I said, "That's silly," but it wasn't. What her problem was she had a trust in me. And I wasn't real trustworthy. And even though I thought I was trying to do the best I could, still yet, but what I did was, I had come to a point, and she had not seen that long enough in my life to understand, I had come to a point where I had surrendered all those things unto God. And I had went forth and I never touched them again when I walked away. And when I did that, I found out that there was a power within me that I could overcome anything in my life. Anything. Not only that, but also in verses 7 through 11, if you'll stay with me a moment, we see the theology of love. The Bible tells us that love is of God. So therefore, we know the origin of love. God is love. That's the origin. Then he also tells us that those that are born again loves. If you don't have love, you're not born again. You have to have a love of God. Not only that, but you can't know God without knowing love. We love him because he first loved us. You've got to know the love of God before you can know God. You'll never know God until you know how much he loves you. Did you know that? What constrains us to do what we are supposed to do? It's the love that we have of God. And we have that love of God because we realize how much he loves us. If I had you stand up tonight, those of you who are saved, and tell us exactly how much God loves you, the closest answer you could get is looking at the cross and saying, "That's how much he loved me." But the point being is, God loves you so much. And so therefore, what we find is that we cannot know God without knowing his love. And therefore, when we do that, we begin to learn and understand God by his love, that he loves us so much. Look on, if you would, in verse 13, or verse 12. He said, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." In other words, as we learn the love of God, we, because we are in him, he is us, we begin to share the same love of God with each other, and our love begins to get perfected. Some people says, "How can I overcome fear?" Perfect love. You perfect love by loving others and loving one another. And so therefore, when I love him enough, then it will make me want to do things because I love him. Does that make sense? And so as my love matures, then what it does is it makes me love him more as my love matures. But as my love matures for God, it matures for him. But as it matures for God, I fear things less and less. Look on. Look in verse 13. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us," what? "His Spirit." We have the experience of the Holy Ghost of God, witnessing with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so therefore, we have the Spirit of God, leading us, guiding us, teaching us, convicting us, doing all those things. Not only that, but in verse 14, And we have seen to testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In other words, we have experienced the history of love. The history of love was when we recognized that Jesus was the gift of God, that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And therefore, we have gotten saved because we have loved the Father of the gift of his Son. Not only that, but in verse 15, and whosoever shall confess that Jesus is Son of God, God dwelleth in him, he in him. Our salvation comes through getting to know that love. Love is what drew us to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not only that, look in verse 16. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. In other words, we must know God. And the Bible tells us there that we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, and God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. In other words, we have to be convinced. How many of you believe that God loves you? How many of you believe that he really, 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 really loves you? How many of you believe that he cares for you more than he cares for a sparrow? Think about that a minute. If he cared that much for you, what does he want to happen to you? There are trials that he will allow you to go through. There are issues with growing old. Me and Brother Junior was talking about that this morning. You can't stop the aging process. Some people think they can. I mean, I could make my hair black, but soon I'd get where there wasn't nothing to make black. I'd have to make my forehead black because my hair is about gone. But still yet, the point being is, that doesn't stop the aging process. And all of us has to go through that. And there'll be a point where we get, where we hurt. If we live long enough, there'll be a point where we hurt and we have enough issues with this old body that we'll be looking forward to God just taking us on home. And we'll realize that our use has about expired here. But at that time, God will give us the grace that we need to cross that river. But getting here, what I want you to understand is this. If you want to overcome your fears, you have to understand that God really, really, really loves you. Why? If God allowed me to catch something while I'm preaching, coming to church, then I would figure out that either it's a self-inflicted storm that I brought, or it's a trial that God's putting me through. And whichever one it is, then I would be able to go to God, and I would recognize. But I don't have to be fearful every time I walk in here. I try to be cautious. I try not to grab everybody, and I try not to be right in your face, and I try not to grab your babies. But I'm not going to be fearful. Last, but look on, if you would, in verse 17. The Bible says that love is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. In other words, we don't have to live our whole life worrying about the judgment seat of Christ. And therefore, we know that he loves us. And we know that we are, because as he is, so are we in this world. And so he was tempted and tried, so will we be tempted and tried. Are we going to fail sometimes? Yes. Peter failed, David failed, others failed, we're going to fail too. But what God wants out of us is he wants us to love him enough to understand that he loves us enough. He don't want to keep us down. He wants us to get back up. When we fall, let's get back up. But let's get rid of our fears. Notice if you would in verse number 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. And you got to agree, if there's something that you're fearful about, it torments you. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Love and fear cannot coexist. You got to either have one or the other. Look on in verse 19. We love him because why? That's how we come to love, folks, because of his love. Verse 20. If any man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. In other words, that's the truth about love. Have you ever seen people that claim to be saved, and man, every word out of their mouth is something like venom toward everybody? They hated everybody. They had something bad to say about everybody. Let me ask you this. When people think of you, what do they think about? Do they see love? Do they feel love? The truth about love is that you can't be saved and not have some love. Now, you may not have been perfect and perfected your love. And by the way, there's a difference between being perfect, sinless, and perfecting your love. Perfecting your love is maturing your love, as I talked about earlier. Look at verse 21, we'll close. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. In other words, love is not an option. But folks, I got thinking about today, and I'm not trying to be critical, and I'm not, I know that there's different reasons why people can't come at times. But I do believe this. I believe that God loves his church. I believe that we are living in a day as we've never seen before. Satan is attacking the church. He would love to shut them all down. And they're doing their best. Buildings in California that holds 20,000, they can't have more than 10. That's foolishness. But what you find is there is a spirit of Antichrist that has increased. It's doing everything it can to attack the church. And when it attacks the church, it don't attack this building, it attacks you. And the thing that he attacks us with when we lose the love, if you remember what God told the church of Ephesus, return to the first love. And what happens is this. When Satan begins to attack us, he attacks us with fears. And when we get looking at those fears, we take our eyes off the Lord like Peter did when he was walking on the water, and we start looking at the waves. And that's when we sink. And what God wants us is to love him enough to believe that he loves us enough that he'll take care of us. And yes, there may be things that we go through. There may be issues in our life. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We still got to have confidence and trust in him. What time we are afraid, let us trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Get a song. Great day coming.